It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle. As promised, we are delivering a little bit more, I was caught news, but we had some good questions that came up over the weekend, and I do want to talk about Michael Johnson Jr. and how things are trending for that four-star quarterback from Oregon. 24/7 has some new rankings out, so I want to touch on both of those things. But we went to this 409 Tailgate Club, tailgatewine.com event at Freeze Farm Winery in Berwick. We were invited. Scott Shirley, Andy Shea, and I, we all went up and checked it out. It was really cool, really awesome. Andrew and Jeremy from 409 Tailgate Club were grilling, and it was phenomenal. And I do want to share this. My daughter is the stereotype for a picky eater. Doesn't eat anything. Eats like four different things. She has never eaten real chicken really in her life. She ate four chicken wings with the 409 tailgate rub on it. So if that's not an endorsement of the product, like I'm ordering some of that rub just so I can be like, okay, can I get my daughter to eat real food moving forward?
Now we're
this
talking.
Is not a chicken tender. This is not a microwave chicken tender. This is a real chicken wing, and she ate four of them, which was phenomenal. So I'm in a hurry to go out and get some of that rub and see if we can parlay this into some momentum for her to actually eat. But it was a really good time. Some wine. My wife had some of the wine slushies from up there. But it was awesome. But I went and greeted both the guys, Andrew and Jeremy from 409 Tailgate Club. And I just said, hey, you know, just greeted them or whatever. And both of them fired questions at me right away. And I think everybody just wants to have these conversations. And, you know, with Jeremy, it's fun to have these conversations now. It's hard to remember the days where Penn State was in that 7-6 rut or whatever you want to call it. But for Penn State to be a real national force, people are just excited to talk about it. So I wanted to bring up both the questions that they asked and talk about Michael Johnson Jr. in the 24/7 rankings. Let's start with Michael Johnson Jr. first. It's a little bit more newsy, I would say. He's been a hot topic, Greg, and we've both ranged from optimistic and back. My pessimism for Penn State landing him is not about getting into his head or getting close enough to him to get inside information, which some people in the industry have more access to that than we do. So we're really just trying to play off of the, for me, it's the fact that he's from Oregon. I know he liked his Penn State visit. That's awesome.
Yep.
He's from Oregon and Penn State already has a quarterback. I'm a little bit pessimistic because of that, but what I thought was his crystal ball kind of being frozen at Penn State being a leader when I wasn't really sure that that was the case, it's changed. That dynamic has changed in the past 3-4 days where now Penn State has gotten more crystal ball picks. It looks like there's some more tangible information out there when he announces on August 1st that Penn State's going to be the pick. And I guess my question is, if that's how it unfolds, Greg, how significant is that?
Oh, it's enormous. I mean, because you're going to lose Trace McSorley after this season. You lose another guy, Tommy Stevens, after the 2019 season. And Sean Clifford, Jake Zembic, Will Levis, Taquan Roberson, Michael Johnson Jr., it's a pretty good-looking group
on
paper.
You got yourself a quarterback room now.
You do. Yeah. And beyond that, you don't know. So, okay, you think that Tommy Stevens is the next in line after Trace, and then you think it's Sean Clifford, and then you think it's probably Will Levis. But you never know. And if you can keep getting guys that are high-quality guys in, Penn State has been able to do that. Maybe not quite at as high of a level as they want it. And mostly I'm thinking of Justin Fields, the five-star once being committed to Penn State.
And Wimbush back.
Yeah,
back
Wimbush
15,
too. Well, yeah. That's still up for debate, I think. But, I mean,
I'm still a big believer in Wimbush, but
see, I am,
but anyway,
yeah. I am as well, but I need to see it. I'm at the point now where I need to see it, and I was willing to give him the benefit of the doubt for, you know, a pretty long leash, but now I'm at the point where, okay, I think the kid has all the talent in the world, but I need to see it actually work on the field. This isn't a Notre Dame conversation, though, but I think that, Dustin, you get him, James Franklin finally gets his five scholarship quarterbacks set, you know, pretty well slotted that he wants, and you're going to have great competition for years to come, and it also take some pressure off of you. If you don't really love a quarterback in the class of 2020, you don't have to take one.
Yeah, and maybe that's part of it too, but yeah, with Johnson, so I look at 2018, you know who your starter is. 2019, you know who your starter is. I can see, okay, Tommy Stevens is unproven, blah, 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 but he's going to be your starter in 2019. Anything you assume beyond that is maybe faulty assumptions. I think Sean Clifford has that head start. He's in the good graces of the Penn State staff. He's shown to be in college what we thought he would be when he was in high school, and that's great. But really, they're going beyond the 2019 season. There's a possibility of coming in here and taking the quarterback room by storm. I don't think anything is locked up. Nothing is proven. Everything is still up for grabs. And I think for Michael Johnson Jr., I get it. You don't want to be the second quarterback in one class. But if you're going into a situation knowing I'm going to have to compete for everything I get regardless,
right?
What's the difference whether it's another 2019 or whether it's a 2018 or a 2017 kid you're talking about? I'm still going to have to compete. And if I take care of my business, things are going to work out how I think they're going to. And I think you have to have that as a quarterback prospect. You have to have that line of thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's just one of those things where if you are Penn State, you can say to yourself, well, we already have this very good commit in Taquan Roberson. Why do we feel the need to get another quarterback? Well, quite honestly, the way college football works anymore, it's such a transfer-filled game at this point, especially at the quarterback position. And now if you're going to have the rule where guys don't have to, you know, get permission to transfer and all that, you're probably going to have more transfers in the years moving forward. So you better get one at least every cycle, or if you get two in one cycle, maybe you can bypass the cycle. But you got to keep the rule full, Dustin, because if not, you risk running into a situation where a couple of guys transfer and all of a sudden you're left with not nothing, but not what you wanted and what you thought you had when you went through the recruiting process in earlier classes.
Really thin line between not enough depth and too much depth at quarterback. It's the Keystone Kickoff Show talking Penn State football on the recruiting trail. And I just want to touch on this briefly, the 24/7 rankings. Tyler Rudolph, the safety from Connecticut, moved up 54 spots. He was one of the hot, quicker risers. And he's a do-it-all. He's exactly the prototype at 6'1", 200 pounds that you want from a safety prospect. So I get it. Brandon Smith, now a five-star by 247. And I think it was Barton Simmons who broke his game down a little bit, mainly from the opening in Dallas. Downhill with length. So at 6'4", with that 84-inch wingspan, he's not a finesse player. And I think that's what they love about him. And I think that's one thing that we've been circling here is his linebacker mentality with that elite length. And it's hard to find somebody who has both of those things.
Yeah.
And that's why Brandon Smith is now a five-star.
Yeah, I was surprised he wasn't a five-star already, to be really honest with you.
I thought he was maybe in the composite.
Yeah. And just for those unaware, so 247 Sports has its own ranking, and then the composite combines ESPN Rivals and 247 Sports rankings as an average of industry projections for individual players and also the team race, where Penn State now sits inside the top 20 nationally. So, I honestly didn't know he wasn't a five-star on 247 Sports, but he's certainly deserving of it. And again, Penn State, you know, if you I almost have read more glowing reviews, I think, of Lance Dixon than I have Brandon Smith, which is almost perplexing because Smith is just one of the best players in the country and Dixon's right on his heels. But there's been a lot of good news out there about Lance Dixon too.
I mentioned the 4-9 guys, and I want to bring up those questions. Ask Greg is coming up later in the show. These are questions from our guys. So number one, Andrew asks, how do we really know that Micah Parsons is the real deal? It's almost like there's a feeling, and I don't think he's the only one out there who it feels like you're being force fed that he's the future. He's going to be a star and all this stuff. And you know, how do we know? I've never seen him play in person, but I think how we know from my vantage point is what he's done at all these different positions and the way that he's proven that strength and speed playing cornerback, playing wide receiver. He's a special athlete, and I think what we've started to learn, I think during his stint at the Army All-America game where he was phenomenal as a pass rusher, he's got this sort of dogged determination about him too. Mm-hmm. He's not, you know, mentioned Brandon Smith not being a finesse player. Micah Parsons is not a fragile player either. He's a go get him kind of guy. And when you add that stuff together, I think that's why we've created this mystique about him.
I mean, he's a five-star quarterback that was a top five player in the country. And this is one thing that we come across a lot, you know, with Penn State. There's always these questions, why isn't this guy going to be good? What's going to be wrong with him? Why isn't the outlook, okay, we got this five-star top of his class in the nation guy. Of course he's supposed to be good. That's why he's a five-star in the top of his class in the nation. Under Armour All-American, you know, every award under the sun you can think of. I mean, these guys are supposed to be good. That's why he has all those accolades. So if you – I can understand maybe being a little fatigued about reading of his feats and all that. I can certainly get it. Yeah. But – I mean, you should want the guy to be everything he said to be, because that means Penn State's going to get a 3 or 4 year instant impact, all American level contributor. So, why do people think that? Well, just watch him play, and you'll quickly see what kind of skills he has and what he's capable of.
His background and the way that the recruiting process unfolded, and the way that he touted schools, and the way that he kind of was a little bit quote unquote flirty with all these different schools and these different fan bases. I think that's why we've gotten to the point where the spotlight is really warm on him. But physically, I don't think there's any question. The other question was, and it's a little bit more of a loaded question, what do you think for the season in terms of predicting Penn State's season record? We haven't gotten to that point on this show yet, and we'll probably save that for either later this month or into August when the season is more around the corner. So I haven't really looked at it in a game by game, but the essence of Penn State's schedule is there are some really challenging dates on there, but home games are big. Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin are all at home. At Michigan is, I'm not going to say the only challenging road date, because at Pitt week two, when you're breaking in some new stuff offensively, at Illinois for a Friday night game, at Indiana, at Rutgers is the last road game of the year. So how do you weigh the challenging opponents with the fact that Penn State gets a good many of them at home? And can Penn State make a run at 10 wins?
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, I think that to win 10 games, you have to you might lose at Michigan, but you have to beat Wisconsin and you have to beat Ohio State at home. That's pretty much what it comes down to.
Michigan State.
Yeah,
you know, you can say – so there. If you're going to put Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Wisconsin all at or near that coin flip territory, you got to figure they're going to win two of them.
Absolutely, at least. Yeah. And I mean, I think that, you know, Ohio State's now a 5-point favorite over Penn State for that game at Beaver Stadium. I think that line's getting a little bit too high. I was just down at Delaware Park over the weekend checking out some of those future lines. I mean, there's a couple of them right now that I think are just a little bit too high. Conversely, I do think that the Penn State getting 14 at Pittsburgh's a bit high. But I mean, yeah, if you put Penn State in a toss up with Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Ohio State, I think Penn State wins at least two of them, which would give you 10 wins, because I don't see any other pitfalls on this schedule.
The fact that three of them are at home, and that's really where I'm at. I guess I'm picking, if I were had to do it today, gun to the head, 10-2, because I think, you know, if one of those games doesn't go how we think it is, another one probably won't in a good way. So 10-2 is my pick. I can see 9-3. I can see a lot of different opinions there. But 10-2, I'm sure we'll touch on and go through the schedule a little bit more detailed going forward. But I thought it was good to have that conversation now. All right, we're continuing our redshirt review series after this break, looking at redshirt freshmen in Penn State's 2017 class.
It's time to own summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.